Hello, hello, and welcome to episode 4 of It's Funny Now, stories you're glad didn't happen to you. My name is Frank Trainer. I'm the creator and producer of the show where people tell stories that maybe were embarrassing, cringy, terrifying, shameful, disgusting, even sad sometimes when they happened. But with the help of time, we can say it's funny now. Our show is recorded live at The Crow in Santa Monica, California. That's the new comedy club for Elevated Comedy in Los Angeles. It happens every second Tuesday of the month. And on this podcast, you will hear the best stories to come out of that stage. On today's episode, we have Mel Case with their story, Dating as a Lesbian.
It was like very exciting, you know, the kind of sex that you hope to have, and especially after a separation when you just really want some new sex. So it was all really fun until things started to get a little weird.
Mel is a non-binary, half-Colombian, queer stand-up comedian, actor, and screenwriter who studied at UCLA. They once played the pharmacy clerk in Stephen Soderbergh's Contagion, and they have performed comedy at Flappers, The Comedy Store, The Laugh Factory, San Francisco Sketchfest, and other joints. You can find them at melcase.com. And now, without further ado, here's Mel with their story, Dating as a Lesbian.
So in 2020, I was recently separated, and I was really lonely, and I really wanted to meet someone, but it wasn't necessarily to fall back in love again, because it was too soon for that, but I really just wanted some new sex. And I actually was blessed by one night I went to sleep and I had this sexy dream about a celebrity. And it was awesome because the only other time I had dreamt about celebrities was when I dreamt about David Bowie. And he always played this like really kind father figure. He was like a loving guy who would like mentor me and help me grow in like fantastic ways. So this sexy dream was a nice surprise. So fast forward like 6 months, and I'm also a screenwriter, and I had a screenplay that I was shopping around with my agents and stuff like that, and we had landed with this production company that was maybe going to do the movie, but the producer was really excited, and she brought up some names of some people that could maybe play the starring role for the character in the movie, and the name of the person that she really wanted to work with was the person from my dream. So in my head, I sort of combined those two things, and I was like, oh, it's destiny. I am single. We are meant to be together. And so I had also heard that Nick Jonas and Priyanka Chopra had gotten together when Priyanka Chopra slid into his DMs on Instagram. And I had always thought that, you know, I work in advertising, so, like, you know, there's, like, social media managers that manage these big accounts. And so I was like, there's no way that these celebrities are actually engaging with people on social media. So I wasn't sure, but I was like willing to give it a shot. So instead of going through the agents and the production company, I was like, I'm just gonna slip her a DM and see what she says. So the balls, okay? I have such balls. And what I did was I introduced myself. I'm very casual. I was like, hey, my name's Mel. I'm a screenwriter. I'm pretty sure you got my screenplay. Maybe you're interested. I'm not sure. But I'm a really big fan. I think you'd be great at this part. I think it'd be really fun to work together. I'd love to get to know you better. Send. And then I waited and I waited and I waited, and one day she wrote me back and I was like, what the fuck? So suddenly I'm DMing with this, she's a lesbian celebrity, so she and I are DMing each other back and forth, and I'm like Googling pictures of her girlfriend. Her girlfriend kind of looks like me but skinny, but she likes brunettes with big noses. I'm like, yep, that's me. So then I was like, and plus we have banter, right? We're both comedians. We're bouncing comedy back and forth. The jokes are happening. So this goes on for a while, and eventually I was like, I can't tell if this is romantic or just friendly, which is often a lesbian problem. You just never know, like, are we friends or are we gonna fuck? Like, is this gonna happen? So there was a little bit of a technicality, which was that she lived in New York and I lived in LA. So I started to think that maybe this could happen, when one day she says to me, why don't you come visit? And I was like, are you kidding me? Fuck yes. So I fly to New York. I spend a week with her. I meet her dad. This was really interesting. Her dad was like this really neurotic, fastidious kind of guy. You know, he'd be like, Mel, I notice you have a little bit of executive functioning problems. Why don't I help you fold your laundry? I'd be like, okay. Sure, okay, let's do it. He'd be like, okay, let's go to the coffee shop. Why don't we buy these Guatemalan Antigua beans, and then you can use them with the carafe I'm going to buy you for your pour over, because I know you love that pour over. And then when you go back to LA, you'll have something to remember us by. And I was like, oh my God, this man is amazing. He became like my best friend. So it was this kind of weird romance, like of like, it was like Notting Hill, you know, the average bloke, that was me, who also had a child, and then the beautiful celebrity who was working all the time. But somehow it just works. It's magical like that. So things were going really well. The sex was amazing. We had very experimental sex. We were doing things. She was doing things she had never done before. I was doing things that I had never done before. We were doing things to each other that neither of us had ever done. It was like very exciting, you know, the kind of sex that you hope to have, and especially after a separation when you just really want some new sex. So it was all really fun until things started to get a little weird. One day, she tells me, my dad really likes to watch. No. And, and I didn't know what to do, so I just let him. He was gay, so it didn't matter, right? We're all gay in the room. It's gay people having fun. Then one day, sorry, you guys threw me off with that reaction. That was so big. So then one day he asks if he can participate. And I was like, it's not in the way that you think. It's that he wanted to give us notes. He was that picky and fastidious that he started giving us notes on the sex. And then from there, it got really weird because then I started to feel like there was some like weird demonic energy. I was like, I feel like there's demons in the room, and I feel like I'm getting fucked by demons. Like this is, like I usually like, I mean, I like to, I'm a switch, you know, so I like to combine whatever, but I felt like I was like, I'm bottoming a lot for these demons. They are topping me a lot. And so... One day, I decided, you know what? Something weird is going on. I think I need an exorcism. So then I book a flight to Austin, Texas. And then in Austin, Texas, I'm going to take a cab to San Antonio, which is where they have a place that does exorcisms. So I get in this cab, and there's like this lime green Prius. And I get into it. It's kind of a weird cab. I don't know why I'm in a cab and not an Uber, but there I am. And the guy starts to drive, and he's doing this while he drives. And I'm like, who does this to see better? Like, you do this to see better. You don't do this to see better. Like, what is this guy doing? And I was like, this is a sign. He's going to human traffic me. So I was convinced, I swear to you, I know it's funny, but like, it was so scary. I was like, I had like palpitations. My heart was racing. I couldn't breathe. I was like, this guy's gonna human traffic me. So I tell him, you know what? Can you just pull over? Pull over at the closest gas station. So he pulls over at the closest gas station. I get out of the cab. I go into the 7-Eleven. Convenience store, and I'm so panicked, I don't know what to do, so I do this, and I announce, I am an undercover police officer, and there is human trafficking happening in this 7-Eleven, and I am calling for backup, and I called 911, and the fucking police show up. So the police show up, it's a white guy with like spiky blonde hair like Iceman in Top Gun, and he's got sleeve tattoos and that vest, you know, with the fucking walkie right here, and he's doing this. And he's like, can you tell me what's going on, ma'am? And I'm just like, listen, there's this guy who's trying to human traffic me. It was really fucking scary. I don't know what's going on. And he's listening to me, but he's looking at me like he might fucking kill me. Like, he looks like a white supremacist. So then I'm like, he's a white supremacist, and this is a sign. And this are signs. And there's a fucking ring of human trafficking happening in this town. So finally, a black cop comes. Big, tall guy, buff, very nice looking. And he looks at me and he says, Mel, are you sure you want to go down to the station? And I was like, what do you mean? Where else would I go? There's human trafficking. I don't know where I'm gonna be safe. And he goes, are you sure that you want to go down to the station? Because there are other options. And I couldn't, my brain wasn't working. You know, I was just not able to figure out what he was saying. And then I went, oh, like a hospital? Like, should I be going to a hospital? Oh, I need a hospital. And it hit me that something wasn't going right with my brain. So that became the journey, that began the journey for me getting treatment for what I have, which is bipolar 1. I was in a very prolonged psychotic episode. It lasted for about 4 to 5 months. I don't know how I managed to get through it without dying, because I was so erratic in my behavior. I flew to New York in a pandemic thinking the celebrity would pick me up, and she never came. Lots of other things happened. This is the short version of the story, okay? And finally, I was, I'm laughing because it's hard to talk about and I'm feeling awkward, but thanks. Thank you. I did inpatient treatment for a period of time, for about 3 months, and I'm now on lithium. I won't be like Kanye. I am well medicated. We'll never be like Kanye, because if you take your meds, it's actually totally something you can live with. I have a regular job. I make good money. I'm a mom to a beautiful 4.5-year-old. She's adorable. And I know I have that relationship again. So, but you guys, I have to say, I still feel a little bit lonely sometimes. And the reason now is because now I don't have all those voices in my head to keep me company. All right, thanks, guys. Have a good night.
That's it. That was our 4th episode with Mel Case. I remember very well the second that Mel stepped off stage after telling this story at The Crow during our show. I approached them and gave them a big hug and thanked them, because it's stories like this, the reason why we have the show, why we created this show, so that people can come and tell those stories that maybe were, again, painful, very difficult when they happened, and that now with you know, the passing of time, we can say it's funny now. And that is definitely what happened with this story. What a twist. What a twist. That's what a twist is all about. You can watch the video of this story on our YouTube channel at It's Funny Now Storytelling. And you can find information about future live shows and how to pitch your own story on our website, itsfunnynowstorytelling.com. And you can find a new episode of the podcast every Monday on all podcast streaming platforms. On our next episode, we have Chris De La Cruz, the host of our live show, with his story, Popping and Locking.
I walk in and I realize immediately that I'm out of place, because I see Sydney is You know, I'm dressed in my Oxford shirt, my khaki pants. She's wearing ripped Abercrombie jeans and a white shirt that just says censored across her chest. A seventh grader, an edgy seventh grader. So I'm like, okay, I'm like out of place. And my two friends, Chris and Billy, they're in their like Air Force Ones and some jerseys. And I was like, wow, no one gave me the memo. I look like someone who works there or I look like one of their parents.
Thanks for listening. And remember, tragedy plus time. It's funny now. See you next time.